This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
The first hour, I talked about this freak show, Sam Brenton. He's the guy that worked for the DOE, who was a cross, non-binary is what they call them. And he was bald-headed, but he dressed in women's clothes, bald-headed, but he had a mustache. I mean, it was a freak show. No other way to describe it. Now, you could say, well, Kevin, that's your idea of normal. Differs than what he is. Maybe in his world, that's normal. Okay, fine. He may look at me as a freak show. I'm okay with that. Welcome, folks. Kevin Jackson's who you're listening to. The Kevin Jackson Network. Look, everybody's freaky in some kind of way. When I went to MIT to go check out the school, the guy that they had me spend time with was into war games. And, you know, he had the racks pushed back in his room, in his dorm room, and he had his map set up, and I thought to myself, man, these guys are just out there. It was one of the reasons why I ended up not going to the colleges, because I was like, I don't want to get freaked out by stuff like that. I mean, college to me was meant to be an experience, and also it was very cold, and it was too far away from home. But he's a freak as far as I was concerned. Not, you know, pervert in certain other areas, but that to me was like, what? And so what I'm getting at is there's lots of things that will freak you out that don't freak other people out. Freak is a subjective term, and it's not even a bad term. But that dude's a freak. And I talked earlier that there are certain jobs you don't get when you're a freak. I'm talking about the freak that he's got, that he has. There are certain jobs you don't get. And he never should have been hired, but the Democrats like the shock value of, look at how progressive we are. I mean, this person was traveling the world on behalf of America, speaking about our energy policy. And oh, by the way, stealing luggage along the way. But I was curious about him. And here's an article. The Department of Energy has fired a top nuclear waste official who happened to be non-binary and has been accused in a string of luggage thefts. Sam Brenton is no longer a DOE employee. Were you guys aware he was fired? Because I wasn't. He was unceremoniously fired. Joe Biden fired a freak. If Donald Trump had fired a freak from his administration, I guarantee it would have been front and center news. Look at him. He hired him, but it was just symbolic. It wasn't meant. It would have been a media bludgeoning of Donald Trump and how anti-LGBT whatever freaky this guy was. But they said, by law, the Department of Energy cannot comment further on personnel matters. The 35-year-old Biden administration Deputy Assistant Secretary for Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition at the DOE's Office of Nuclear Energy was reportedly canned after being charged with stealing a woman's suitcase from a Minneapolis airport in September and another woman's bag from a Las Vegas airport in July. I don't know what made this guy flip. What pushes his buttons or flips his switches. But he's got a serious problem. And the Biden administration overlooks it. And then his freaky comes out even more when it turns out he's a baggage thief. They go on to say this. Brenton, who was appointed to his former position in June, was caught on surveillance cameras making off with a $320 bag from Las Vegas's Harry Reid International Airport baggage claim area, a bag that contained more than $3,500 worth of jewelry, clothing, and makeup. Brenton, who uses, I love this part, they, them pronouns. We got to know his pronouns, or else are we going to know what we're talking about here, right? And does not identify exclusively as either male or female, was described by a detective. You're gonna love this. was described by a detective as a white male adult wearing a white t-shirt with a large rainbow colored atomic nuclear symbol design. So the cop went up. If it was a dude, it was a white dude. Oh my God. And let me tell you, he could have been in a dress and I would have still described him as a white dude. I don't know whether you think Sam's a cute girl or not. But anyway, the cop describes him as a dude. And it says he faces felony grand larceny charges in the Las Vegas case and felony theft charges in the Minneapolis St. Paul incident, where he snatched a woman's Vera Bradley suitcase with items that were valued at $2,325. He was placed on leave following this, and just so you guys know the date, on December the 22nd, he was finally fired. And what was funny, you probably forgot the story, right? I mean, it's no longer in the news cycle. I don't know who. Think about this. How many people have Kamala Harris have left her administration, her office or whatever, office of the fake vice president? A lot of them. You're not going to hear their stories. And you know what else? They're not going to say anything negative, but they got a lot of negative to report. You think the people working with this freak show, Sam Brenton, weren't sitting around going, "Are you serious?" There were leftists in government looking at Sam Brenton going, "Wow, we have come a long way." And let me tell you something, folks, it ain't all good. Don't believe the left. They want you to believe it's all good. It's not. Anyway, House Republicans led by Georgia Rep. Andrew Clyde are the ones who effectively said he needs to go. And they said, "We demand the resignation of Sam Brenton, and we implore you to set aside petty politics and appoint only the most qualified and dedicated individuals to influence America's energy sector." Isn't that how it's supposed to be? Aren't we supposed to put the best and brightest people that aren't so... This guy spent more time putting his social media nonsense up about his fetish for puppies and being put down, you know, putting leashes on and leading his boy, or I don't even know what it is, his they-them around with a leash like he's a puppy, and bragging about his LGBTQ nonsense. That's what his life was about. Not energy, not making things better for America. But the Democrats definitely had to let you know. And by the way, he was hailed as a well-known advocate for LGBTQ youth. They use this guy as a poster child. When we come back, we're going to talk about racism. Everything's racist, right?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
Call 800-485-0821. 800-485-0821. 800-485-0821. That's 800-485-0821.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-296-1259. 800-296-1259. 800-296-1259. That's 800-296-1259.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
Just when you think things couldn't get any nuttier on the race issue, we get a new thing that is racist. It's not so new anymore. Maybe some of you have now heard about this. But because I will tell you, I think they lost me at math. I remember when they said math was racist, and I was like, really? How so? Everybody can use it equally. It isn't like it favors one group over another. So explain to me how math is racist. Because you can't. Then they went further. Oh, you know what? Hard work is racist. They went further. Showing up on time is racist. They went further. Cordiality, being nice, is racist. That's why I'm going, okay, so we've got all the tenets of a person living a good life. You learn your math. By the way, you do need maths in your life. You use them all the time. You shoot pool, you use a lot of geometry, maybe even a little bit of physics. Play baseball? Definitely geometry, physics. No question. You're using math all the time, all kinds of maths. Trigonometry. So, you know, this idea that suddenly this is maths is racist. But here's the one that got me. Now, something that, again, equally distributed, you use as you wish, nobody impeding you, exercise is racist. Here's what Time magazine said. And many of you, you probably heard it, but you certainly didn't hear it from my perspective. How did a U.S. exercise trend go from reinforcing white supremacy to celebrating Richard Simmons? That evolution is explored in a new book by a historian of exercise, Natalia Melman, Petrozella, something like that, author of the book Fit Nation, The Gains and Pains of America's Exercise Obsession. That book just got released this month. Now, let me stop you for just a second. See, this is what I love to have a discussion about. This is academia at its finest. This is a person who has absolutely nothing to do except to go, huh, they've covered everything as racist. What else can we talk about that's racist? I know. Exercise. Exercise. The treatment here is the gains and pains of America, of America's, you ready? Exercise obsession. We are obsessed with exercising. I don't know about you, but I don't know how all those black professional athletes got to where they are unless they were practicing racism. The 68% of the black folks who are in the NFL, population 13.7%, folks, but the NFL is 68% black, geometrically more black than they should be. No cause of racism in the NFL. Oh, I take that back. They're not owners, are they, these black folks? I remember when it was, they won't let a black man be quarterback. I remember when it was, they wouldn't let a black man play. And then they did. And you know what happened? Meritocracy took over. And suddenly black folks was playing football. White coaches were looking in the deep dark recesses of Africa for them some Negro players, baby. Jim Brown was played, who did he play with? Cleveland? And, oh, don't even talk about Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant played UCLA, I think it was, or USC, got his butt kicked, saw them brown fellers on the other side, and went, you know what, I'm going to get me some. You can't win without people who are good at what they do. And black folks, we were good athletes and continue to be. And you know how we're doing it? With that racist exercise. At least that's what Natalie Melman Petrozella says. She says, nowadays, at the beginning of every new year, many Americans hit the gym to work off their holiday feast. This momentum usually starts to fade in mid-January. This is according to a 2019 analysis of data on fitness tracking apps by Bloomberg. But such New Year's resolutions are pretty new, as is the concept of exercise as a way to improve bodily health. So, look, I'm just going to stop here for just a second and say this. One time, I moved 30,000 pounds of fertilizer. Got called up by a friend of mine. He said, hey, my brother, man, we just bought this fertilizer. It's in a warehouse. We got loaded up in a truck. And I was it was my junior year in high school. And they were going to pay us. Didn't even get a rate. This taught me a lot of lessons. But, man, we were slinging these 50-pound bags up. Whoof, whoof, whoof. Sweating like you wouldn't believe. And it was fertilizer that was like stinkied, I don't know how to call it, but because some of that fertilizer still has a funny smell to it. But anyway, it was dark, loose dirt. I don't know how to describe it, like it was easy to blow it. Anyway, we would sling these bags up. When I was done, I looked like Yaphet Kotto. I was so dark, all you could see were the whites of my eyes. But man, I slung 30,000 pounds of fertilizer from the ground up to a truck bed that was over 7 feet. And I was sore like you wouldn't believe. But I remember thinking, this is better than exercise. I remember when I hauled hay as a kid, sticking the fork in, whew, flipping it up on the truck, and my buddy, him positioning it. And this truck is moving along, and you got to keep up. And we had these claws, we had either a pitchfork or we had these claws where you grab it, whew, sling it up on the truck. And these are 40-pound things of hay we were slinging up. Best exercise you can get in your life. That's what we call them, corn-fed white boys, when you have to tussle with one of them. But that's what we did. And it was exercise. It wasn't in the gym pushing weight, you know, like this, but it was exercise. In effect, what this woman is saying is anything that creates, you know, the ability for your body to burn calories is racist. She goes on to say this, though. It's not really until the 1980s you start to have a consensus that everybody should be doing some form of exercise. By the way, a professor at the New School in New York City, that's who this lady is who wrote this. She says that's partly because the result of the women's movement of the 1960s and 1970s, which fought for Title IX, allowing girls to play sports. That pushed back on notions that girls and women weren't capable of doing vigorous exercise because they're fragile. That's just a blatant lie. Women have been exercising. They may have had a different form of exercise. Women have competed in track and field. I've seen women wrestlers. I've seen women who have been doing a lot of the same things that men do. I'm not trying to make that big of a distinction. I get the bigger point. But it isn't like exercise. Next thing we'll learn is it's feminist. You know, it's a toxically masculine to talk about exercise. How dare you, Kevin Jackson? These people do nothing except try to figure out ways to rationalize their insanity. And that's what this teacher at the New School in New York is all about. We'll be back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. I will not quit. The word from New York Congressman George Santos after Republicans in his home district in New York called on him to resign.
The lies George Santos told are too numerous to count. He lied to me personally when he sought my endorsement.
North Hempstead, New York Supervisor Jennifer DeSena. The FAA computer system that lets pilots know what's going on is back up, and flights are trying to catch up after the nationwide grounding of that system this morning when it failed. California's governor says another 4 atmospheric rivers will slam the Golden State in the next 10 days.
This is about as bad of a natural disaster as I've seen in this county.
Santa Cruz County Sheriff Jim Hart, who's lived there nearly 4 decades, some areas could see another 6 inches of rain from the new storm that begins to hit the coast tonight. I'm Richard Johnson, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
It has to end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No! This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
This topic actually fits in very well with the next topic we're going to talk about, which is fat shaming or whatever. I've talked a little bit about all these topics before, but they always circle back because that's the way things are. So this Melman, whatever her last name is, I'm just going to use Melman, has written a book called Fit Nation. And the guy writes, he's doing an interview with him. He says, you start out by talking about how fat was something to aspire to. It was a sign of wealth and healthiness. How did Americans go from a mentality of fat is good to skinny is better? And she says, one of the things that I set out to do in this book is to change how we think about our bodies and what's considered attractive. See, right there, I don't even have to see her to know that she's probably a bit roomy and not too attractive. You know what I'm saying? She's not pretty. So she wants to rationalize that you've been taught to think that she's not pretty, but she really is. So she says, until the 1920s or so, to be what was considered today fat or bigger was actually desirable, and it signified affluence, which is the polar opposite of today when so much of the obesity epidemic discourse to socioeconomic inequality, and to be fat is often to be seen as poor. Hopefully you got that. But so she's saying it flipped. When you were fat, you were said to be fit and wealthy. That was the way it was. But now if you're fat, you're poor, and you're poor and you're unfit. So she wants to change that back, and she's right. You see the back in the Renaissance days, or whatever, and they were painting these women, and they were all kind of portly, and maybe that was considered something else. I guess until the women were dying at 23, and then they decided, you know what? Maybe there's something to this. Maybe there is something to being fit. I'll tell you this: I've spent a crazy amount of time in the gym and a crazy amount of time in the dojo, and there are days I wish I could get it back. But if you're going to live a healthy life, and I have, that's why I look so good, baby, because black don't crack. But that sure to set off old that guy that is my biggest fan. But anyway, I wouldn't want to be thin per se, but I doggone sure don't want to be fat. I picked up 20 extra pounds, and I'm going to tell you, tying my shoe was, if I had filmed it, you guys would have said, Kevin, that's not you. Yep, it was me. It was me. And there are other things that, putting on socks, as crazy as it sounds, with only carrying 20 pounds extra weight, I wonder how people do it. Huffing and puffing and and what have you. Let me tell you, I've lost weight and I will continue to lose weight because I'm back to fighting again. But let me tell you, nothing makes me feel better than going, I'm dropping that weight. I'm going to get rid of that gut and go back to feeling good and looking good. Anyway, these shows that come on, well, you know, my 600-pound life, my 1,000-pound twins, and you know, our best friends and stuff like this, and they glorify these morbidly obese people who are but a whisper from death. Kevin, we all are a whisper from death. We don't know when we're going to die. Shut up, you devil's advocate. I know how to do this show. Look, I'll tell you this right now. As a male looking at a woman, I will tell you, I don't like skinny women. I, if you're a size zero, you got to be really attractive. You got to have some real attributes for me to look at you, because it's too little for me. That's just, I'm like, oh, no, it's just too small. You're too little. If you start getting into the size 6 to size 10, now you're in the sweet spot, right? But to me, you can be attractive and be a size 18. I've seen many women like that. Now, my buddies, I have some white friends that are like, nah, because my white buddies seem to like skinny girls unless they were in the country. Then they like them healthy because they can do some chores. But the point is, to each his own. You know, some guys are like, no, man, I like them like size 2 down to, you know, quadruple zero, Kev. Okay, I get it. Karen Carpenter, go for it. But I'm not into little, you know, like women that don't have a little meat on the bones. And they may visually be more appealing, but they're just, you know, when you want to just hug them up, you know, you want a little comfort. Like, he's, you know what I mean? There are guys out there going, he's right. So, but if you said that, if you told me that your girl's going to get to be 600 pounds, I would be like, not up for her, baby. There's too much comfort. And I watch these shows with Dr. Nazarian, and I'm thinking to myself, where they got to literally take people out of a room in a forklift and put them in a van that bends over when they get in the other side. I mean, who would want to live that life? And they're trying to glamorize it. That's what this girl wants to do. She wants you to think it's okay. You switch. Somehow society switched you into believing that exercise was good for you when all you are is a racist. Yep. So she says, how'd that happen? Well, in a moment when actually there wasn't a lot of access to caloric foods, to be fat showed that you could afford these things that were out of reach of most people, and you could afford to rest like you weren't out there doing manual labor all day. As that caloric food became more accessible and more people doing sedentary white-collar work and had access to cars and leisure, somebody who could resist those caloric foods, exercise, have a thin body was seen as more desirable. She's explaining exactly how it happened. In the old days when people just didn't have to work and sat on their fat butts and ate nothing but a bunch of calories and got fat, people went, oh, it must be the thing. But then suddenly, when everybody had access to food, but they, you know, I mean, as she described it, they could go to all the things that led to it are exactly what was going to happen. It isn't like it was some massive conspiracy of white people to say, we'll stop them from eating all those calories, and we'll exercise, and then we'll mimic them, and we'll mock them. Well, we'll mock them, not mimic them, but they'll mock them. So he says, what was the most surprising thing you learned in your research? It was super interesting reading the reflections of fitness enthusiasts in the early 20th century. They said we should get rid of corsets. Corsets are an assault on women's form, and that women should be lifting weights and gaining strength. At first, you feel like this is so progressive. Then you keep reading, and they're saying white women should start building up their strength because we need more white babies. They're writing during an incredible amount of immigration, soon after enslaved people had been emancipated. This is totally part of the white supremacy project. So there was a real holy crap moment as a historian where deep archival research reveals the contradictions of this moment. Whoa! People actually wanted white women to have babies. Look. You know what they're saying right now in China? Go out and have that second baby, because we did the analysis. We won't be around as long. We'll drop down to below, well under a billion if we don't. They ruined their culture. to some degree with the all-boy movement. They got rid of all the girls. And the girls got all, you know, woke and said, oh, we want careers. So now the Chinese are struggling to get people to have babies. They trained a generation to not want children, or only want one child max, and only want a boy when they get them. But now this woman has shifted it. Oh, that was a shocking thing, is that they wanted more white babies. I'm not shocked by that. Not at all. And I don't even consider the people racist that did it. They were probably like, you know what? We got all this immigration. We got all these, you know, black folks that we've brought over as slaves. We have to keep up. We got to breed. Not just because we're trying to preserve the white race, but just to keep up with the numbers. It would be different if you said, yeah, man, we need a bunch of white babies and we need to get rid of all them mother black babies, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, I don't even care if they said that, because you can say whatever you want. It's an ignorant statement. But in the context of exercise being racist, I completely disregard what she has to say. Nothing she said fits this narrative. He says your book talks about at one point America was focusing on exercise so we could have a population that was ready to go to war. What is health and fitness culture training to do? Has that reputation evolved over time? And she says during the New Deal of the 30s, the Civilian Conservation Corps would recruit out-of-work, impoverished, scrawny men to go work in the forest and public works. One of the ways they marketed this was it puts muscles on your bones. You know what else puts muscles on your bones? Meat. The CCC was started because these people were starving to death. He says, that really picked up during the Cold War. Right after World War II, you start to have more concern about Americans getting soft. The idea that things that made America great, like cars and TV sets, were actually taking a toll on Americans' bodies. Presidents Eisenhower and Kennedy went on a mission to make exercise look wholesome and patriotic and focus on shifting the purpose of exercise to being a good citizen and defending your country. So it's easy for me to see why this leftist doesn't like exercise, because now they've made it patriotic. But she goes on, and we're going to finish in the next segment, where she says, in the 1980s, there was a huge boon in the fitness industry connected to this hard work hard, play hard mentality. I was also really moved to speak to gay men who had lived through the HIV and AIDS and talked about how they exercised to display that they had a healthy body. Ooh, that's intriguing.
The Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-296-1259. 800-296-1259. 800-296-1259. That's 800-296-1259.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7366. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show
on Kevino Jacksones.
Exercise is racist. And I'm sure we're going to learn at some point that exercise is sexist because, you know, that's the evolution of the left's thing. They've got to make it, you know, whatever it is. And it'll be xenophobic. Then they can't make it homophobic because we just left off at the last segment talking about in the 1980s there was a huge boom in the fitness energy connected to work hard, play hard. But it also moved to speak to gay men who lived through the HIV/AIDS and they exercised because they wanted to, people to see, I'm virile. I don't have AIDS. Look at me. I've got meat on my bones. Welcome back, folks. Kevin Jackson, to you listening to. So there won't be any calls of exercise being homophobic. He said that it became there was a lot of homophobia, so some gyms became like community centers sharing medical information, almost like mutual aid societies. Not aid as in the AIDS epidemic, but mutual aid, like building each other up. He said another big turning point was 9/11. You see a boom in the CrossFit mentality of almost like militarized fitness and girding yourself and your body for a fight. Not necessarily, by the way, in the 1950s and 60s way of fighting for the U.S. Army, but more like you need to know how to perform functional fitness to protect yourself if things go wrong. This lady has a real problem with fit people, doesn't she? You know she's roomy. At the same time, you see wellness, self-care, healing, being meditative in an increasingly traumatic and unpredictable world. They link to that. I don't know why. Exercise, as we know, from a physiological point of view, releases endorphins. It makes you feel good. I will tell you right now, I'm back to exercising every day. I take a picture of myself so people can see the sweat. And I get, when I'm going in there, it's like, oh, we gotta go. But when I get going, man, I'm back on the saddle. I'm picturing, you know, the feet coming at me, the hands coming at me, the sword coming at me, the dude holding the gun. I take it away and boom, hit him over the head with it. I'm building all these scenarios and I'm sparring and hitting that bag, you know, on that. Well, I don't have a treadmill. I have this Bowflex kind of machine. But man, it makes you work. You can put it on a setting that you can barely move those pedals. But when I get off of it and I'm drenched in sweat and I go to take that picture in the mirror and say, you did another one, bro, I feel so good. I don't feel racist, but I do feel good. Goes on. What era of fitness are we in now? Gym usage is rebounding rapidly since the pandemic, lockdown ordinances. But now it's also really efficient for a lot of people to exercise at home. Because then you get to hide your mentality, your racist mentality. Yeah, you don't have to let everybody know you're a racist if you work out at the house. She says, what's so unfortunate about the pandemic, you're going to love this next sentence, is how much it accelerated fitness inequality. Did you realize there was fitness inequality? See, this is another one of these dog whistles that I got to make sure you hear. Fitness inequality. I'm going to ask a simple question, people listening to the Kevin Jackson Network. 844-551-8255. Can anybody stop you from your fitness? Simple question. So, here's what I want you to understand. This is a person who says there's fitness inequality. So what other inequalities are there? And if I can make the argument that there is no fitness inequality because everybody's free to exercise as free as they want.
Oh, Kevin, everybody doesn't have a gym in their house or access to this or that or the other or whatever.
Let me tell you something. I know people who are fit like you wouldn't believe, and all they do is isometrics. You know, where you use your body's own weight against you? You know, push-ups, sit-ups, that kind of thing. And they're strong as you... Boy, don't you mess with them. You ever done a deal where you're standing on your legs, you know, you got your arms out, and you go down on one leg, you know, while one leg is in the air, and you can go down to the ground and put your other leg like 2 inches off the ground, and then stand up, get back up? You know anybody that can do that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Just do what I'm saying here. Put both your feet together. Put your hands out. Now lift one leg. Stick it straight out like you're going to do a goose step. And then go down on that leg that the weight is on. And go down as far as you can. Let me tell you. If you can go down to the ground and then come back up, you're a stud. The point is, you don't need a bunch of equipment. That's the beauty of weight, of training for exercise. You can make do. There, I know guys, we did this as kids. We would put cement in a coffee can, put it at the end of a broomstick, and that was our weights. I couldn't afford weights. but it didn't stop me from being fit. My brother and I used to rip and run up and down that ranch, 2 miles from the gate to our house, 3 miles to the first interior gate. We'd run over cattle guard. If we didn't have our car or didn't want to take the car and we were just goofing off, man, we ripped and ran. And when, by the time we got into school, we were the best athletes ever. And it wasn't because we were black, even though that has something to do with it. It wasn't that only. It was because we were fit. We were running around that ranch doing crazy stuff, cartwheels and running up trees, climbing trees. You name it, we did it. But she says there's fitness inequality. Well, I would love to see how that works out, given that the majority of pro athletes in base in basketball and in football, and many of them in Major League Baseball, are black. How's that inequality? You want to go into boxing and mixed martial arts and things like that? How's that? These are sports where you have to be at the highest level. Hope you didn't get a COVID shot. Then she goes on, you can go home and be on your Peloton if you can afford it, if you have the space for it, but not everyone can. Everybody's not able. So her rationale that fitness is racist is because you might have a Peloton. You know what? I see those Peloton commercials every day. 92% of the people who own a Peloton are still using it. Well, 100% of people who own a body are still using it. I know that. Are they working out? Not necessarily, but they're using the body. And if you think Peloton is the only way to do it, go look at a neighborhood. Drive through a neighborhood, a decent one. Don't go in there, you know, don't go near them silly Negroes. But if you go to a decent neighborhood, you know what you'll see? You'll see people out walking their dogs, walking themselves, playing that bocce ball or whatever they call it. I don't know what it's called, or tennis or something else. And they're not thinking anything about exercise being racist because that's just an idiotic idea. She says, I was meeting with someone who was very active in the New York pickleball world. That's what it is, pickleball. And you have all these adults who want to do this inclusive recreational thing. And they're competing with children who want to go out and skateboard and do basketball. Those are wonderful things, and we don't have the public space to accommodate them. So she's saying they got all these pickleball things that are coming up, but they don't have places for these inner-city kids to do what they do. See, I don't need to read you anymore. I don't need to discuss this any further. I know exactly who this person is. You ready? This is a meddler. This is somebody who has no reason whatsoever to be all up in your business. There's a saying, here's your nose, I found it sticking in my business. Get out of my business. She thinks she's doing a public service, writing this book. She's going to get all kinds of academic accolades and, you know, who knows, the Nobel Peace Prize for all intents and purposes. And everything she said here is drivel. I'm not telling you the stats are drivel. Gym usage is rebounding rapidly since the pandemic. Did you really need to study that? People are back in the gym. No kidding. They're back in the gym because they're tired of being in the house. And this idea that we need a savior from exercise, but going back to why she's saying this, it's because she doesn't want to do it. So instead of just saying, you know what, I don't like to exercise, I'm comfortable with myself at this weight, and I know that I'm no longer the signature of beauty, the picture of beauty as I would have been if one of the cherubs back in the 1700s or so. But I'm okay with being me. So instead of doing that, you got to make you feel bad. How dare you exercise and try to feel better? What are you trying to do, fat shame people? Are you fat shame yourself? They try to turn it on you like you're an idiot for doing something that makes you healthier, makes you better, makes you feel good. That's what bothers me about this. Exercise is racist, folks. Since when? Since some academic said it.
Putting an end to identity politics.
Now, something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.